We are continuing chapter 12 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. It's been a while, hasn't it? Let's see where they were. History of Magic was by common consent the most boring subject ever devised by wizard kind.
Professor, wait, what did just happen?
Oh, yeah, I guess, I don't know, they were talking. Let's see. Oh, they were talking about what they want to do after Hogwarts.
And how Auras.
They want to be Auras and stuff. Okay. Professor Binns,
they're... Go back to the last sentence that you read.
The last sentence was, Harry and Ron carefully avoided looking at each other. The one before was, yes, it is, but it's not the only worthwhile thing, Hermione said thoughtfully. I mean, if I could take SPEW further.
There you go.
The previous sentence was, an aura is worthwhile, said Harry.
I got it.
It'd be funny if we read the whole thing backwards.
No.
Okay. Professor Binns, their ghost teacher, had a wheezy, droning voice that was almost guaranteed to cause severe drowsiness within 10 minutes. 5 in warm weather. He never varied the form of their lessons, but lectured them without pausing while they took notes, or rather gazed sleepily into space. Harry and Ron had so far managed to scrape by in the subject only by copying Hermione's notes before exams. She alone seemed able to resist the soporific power of Binns' voice. It reminds me of how I managed to pass my history of Jews of Central and Eastern Europe. Because it was vaguely interesting, but it was right after lunch, and I always fell asleep.
That's really funny.
And he was this adorable old, like, Jewish guy who was, like, spoken this very hypnotic accent, you know? And so I just, like, it was so hard to stay awake. So I copied my friend Gordy's notes.
Mm-hmm.
He was, man... amazing. He stayed up for that shit. Anna was also in that class, and I think she fell asleep most of the time, too.
Who?
Anna. You know, my ex.
Oh, was that one of your exes? Oh. You know, we have so much, like, documentary about your exes on this kind of thing.
We do, don't we? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You like it?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Because I'm the best.
You are the best. You'll know something funny, speaking of Anna versus you, which you win hands down, of course. It was funny, she had a probably an even worse propensity for being late to classes than you do.
No way, it's...
No, so seriously. So we had this one class, which was an hour and, 20-minute class, you know, one of these long lectures.
Yeah.
And she regularly would show up about 45 minutes in.
That seems about normal.
Isn't that crazy? That's like a full lecture in, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I always thought that was bizarre. And I was like, embarrassed for her. I was like, why would you... How do you feel comfortable walking into a class 45 minutes late?
Yeah, I don't.
You don't what?
Comfortable.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I would think after you do that once, you're like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
Like, I just wouldn't go at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's better to at least go to some of it.
Yes. Well, then just go to the beginning. I don't know.
Okay, what else? What is she better than you?
I don't know.
Be honest.
What's that?
You can be honest. Okay, I can't do that.
I guess she was better at violin than you are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't know. I've never taken violin.
That's true. You could pick it up and be amazing.
I don't think so. I'm not very good at things like that. Like, you saw me with the guitar. It's pretty hopeless.
Well, I mean, violin's hard to use. I mean, I didn't actually seriously think that you could just pick up a violin and be amazing. But, let's see, what else? She was probably better at being a hippie than you are.
Aww. No, yeah, she is.
She was like this. What's that?
Yeah, probably. Dumpster diving.
Yeah, exactly. You both had a propensity to want to be around people that took drugs, but not take drugs yourself. It was kind of interesting.
But not anymore so much.
Right, yeah, you don't do that anymore. I don't know how much she did it, except, I mean, the people that she lived with would do that. But I don't know whether she was as interested in being around them as much. Although I think she was. I don't know, she's weird. And what else? She was way more into, like, social action than you are.
That's good that she does that.
Yeah, she's very, like, you know, like to march and protest and stuff like that. I got dragged to many marches on the Capitol building.
No way.
Yep. The first, like, couple were fun because the whole relationship was new and exciting. And after a while, I was like, I don't want to go.
You were probably like, we do this now?
Right. Because nothing ever, like, helped. No one ever changed anything. But, I don't know.
Also, I'd rather make out.
Well, I tried to do that also, but, you know, I got elbowed sometimes.
I probably didn't need to know that part.
Sorry.
And now our grandchildren will know about it.
No, they're not going to hear this. There are too many inappropriate things.
Papa Jojo liked to make out with his old girlfriend, Donna.
Wait, what did you refer to me as?
Papa Jojo.
Papa Jojo?
Yeah.
I don't want to be
called... Just it out.
What's that? I don't want to be called Papa Jojo. Okay, and we're back. And we had a snippet of things that was censored.
It's our Watergate.
It's our Watergate. The missing, what was it, 19 minutes or whatever?
Yeah.
What could it possibly be? We'll also have to bleep all the swears then. All right, shall we continue? Today, they suffered 3/4 of an hour's droning at the subject of giant wars. Harry had just heard enough within the first 10 minutes to appreciate dimly that in another teacher's hands, this subject might have been mildly interesting. But then his brain disengaged, and he spent the remaining 35 minutes playing hangman on a corner of his parchment with Ron, while Hermione shot them filthy looks out of the corner of her eye. How would it be, she asked him coldly, if they left the classroom for break? If I refused to lend you my notes this year. We'd fail our owls, said Ron, if you want that on your conscience, Hermione. Well, you deserve it, she snapped. You don't even try to listen to him, do you? We do try, said Ron. We just haven't got your brains, or your memory, or your concentration. You're just cleverer than we are. Is it nice to rub it in? Well, don't give me that rubbish, said Hermione, but she looked slightly mollified as she led the way into the damp courtyard. A fine, misty drizzle was falling so that the people standing in puddles around the yard looked blurred at the edges. Harry, Ron, and Hermione chose a secluded corner under a heavily dripping balcony, turning up the collars of their robes against the chilly September air and talking about what Snape was likely to set them in the first lesson of the year. They had got as far as agreeing that it was likely to be something extremely difficult, just to catch them off guard after a 2-month holiday, when someone walked around the corner toward them. Hi, Harry. It was Cho Chang, and what's more, she was on her own again. This was most unusual. Cho was always surrounded by a gang of giggling girls. Harry remembered the agony of trying to get her by herself to ask her to the Yule Ball. Hi, said Harry, feeling his face grow hot. At least you're not covered in stink sap this time, he told himself. Cho seemed to be thinking along the same lines. You got that stuff off, then? Yeah, said Harry, trying to grin as though the memory of their last meeting was funny as opposed to mortifying. So did you have a good summer? The moment he said this, he wished he hadn't. Cedric had been Cho's boyfriend, and the memory of his death had affected her holiday almost as badly as it affected Harry. Something seemed to tauten in her face, but she said, oh, it was all right, you know. Is that a tornado's badge? Ron demanded suddenly, pointing at the front of Cho's robes, which was a sky blue badge, to which a sky blue badge emblazoned with a golden T was pinned. You don't support them, do you? I like how Ron is the one staring at Cho's chest.
Uh-huh.
I've supported them ever since I was 6, Cho said coolly. Anyhow, see you, Harry. She walked away. Hermione, was... Oh, I missed a part. I skipped a couple lines.
Okay.
Sorry. You don't support them, do you? Yeah, I do, said Cho. Have you always supported them, or just since they started winning the league, said Ron, in what Harry considered an unnecessarily accusatory tone of voice. I've supported them since I was 6, said Cho coolly. Anyhow, see you, Harry. She walked away. You know, I approve of Ron's demanding, if they're like the front runners in the league, I approve of Ron demanding.
Wait, but not then. Ron could have chosen a better fucking time. Like, once Harry has made her his girlfriend.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess. You just are always suspicious of people that are rooting for front runners, especially girls. I said that for you.
No, you didn't. You meant it.
Well, girls are sometimes not as, you know, big fans.
Listen,
as guys.
You guys need to just chill the fuck out about that, because the reason that we do shit like that is for you guys.
Yeah, I know. I'm just messing with you.
No, you're not. You really think that. And so do all men. And it's really annoying. Look, so if you want us to not like sports, then we won't like sports. If you want us to like it, then you can't say shit like that.
You know, one of the things that bugged me is when Amber would always root for sports teams.
I know, you hate that.
She never knew what she was talking about, and she always rooted for, like, the dumbest teams. You know?
I love you.
I love you, too. And, like, it's not like, she shouldn't have done that, because it's not like Johan cares about sports, you know? He roots for his, like, I don't know, Barcelona soccer team, you know?
Yeah.
And that's it, right? So. Anyways. You are so tactless, Hermione said.
See?
What? I only asked her if... Couldn't you tell she wanted to talk to Harry on his own? So, she could have done. I wasn't stopping. And what on earth were you attacking her about her Quidditch team for?
I love Hermione. She's such a good wingman for Harry.
Yeah, she is. Well, she should have smacked Ron earlier.
I know.
Attacking her. I wasn't attacking her. I was on... Who cares if she supports the Tornadoes? Oh, come on. Half the people you see wearing those badges only bought them last summer. What does it matter? It means they're not real fans. They're just jumping on the bandwagon. See, I approve with Ron a little bit.
No, see, but Hermione's trying to get Harry laid. That goes before any kind of sports ridiculous.
That's true. Yeah, I guess that's right. It's the main code.
She's a way better guy than Ron is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. That's the bell, said Harry listlessly, because Ron and Hermione were bickering too loudly to hear it. They didn't stop arguing all the way down to Snape's dungeon, which gave Harry plenty of time to reflect that between Neville and Ron, he'd be lucky ever to have 2 minutes conversation with Cho that he could look back on without wanting to leave the country. And yet, he thought, as they joined the queue lining up outside Snape's classroom door, she had chosen to come talk to him, hadn't she? She had been Cedric's girlfriend. She could easily have hated Harry for coming out of the Triwizard Maze alive when Cedric had died. Yet she was talking to him in a perfectly friendly way, not as though she thought him mad or a liar, or in some horrible way responsible for Cedric's death. Yes, she had definitely chosen to come talk to him, and that made the second time in 2 days. At this thought, Harry's spirits rose. Even the ominous sound of Snape's dungeon door creaking open did not puncture the small, hopeful bubble that seemed to have swelled in his chest. He filed into the classroom. See, he was more interested in the bubble that was swelling in Cho's chest. Ugh, that didn't make as much sense as I wanted it to, but you understand what I was getting at.
No.
She has boobs. That's what I was getting at.
Uh-huh.
Anyways. He filed into the classroom behind Ron and Hermione and followed them to their usual table at the back, ignoring the huffy, irritable noises now issuing from both of them. "Settle down," said Snape coldly, shutting the door behind him. There was no real need for the call to order. The moment the class had heard the door close, quiet had fallen and all fidgeting stopped. Snape's mere presence was usually enough to ensure a class's silence. "Before we begin today's lesson," said Snape, sweeping over to his desk and staring at them all around, "I think it appropriate to remind you that next June you'll be sitting in an important examination during which you'll prove how much you have learned about the composition and use of magical potions. Moronic though some of this class undoubtedly are, I expect you to scrape acceptable in your owl, or suffer my displeasure." His gaze lingered this time upon Neville, who gulped. "After this year, many of you will cease studying with me," Snape went on. "I take only the very best into my neat potion class, which means that some of you will be certainly saying goodbye." His eyes rested on Harry and his lip curled. Harry glared back, feeling a grim pleasure at the idea he'd be able to give up potions after 5th year. "But we have another year to go before that happy moment of farewell," said Snape softly. "So whether you are attempting to attempt Newt or not, I advise all of you to concentrate your efforts upon maintaining the high pass level I've come to expect from my owl students. Today we'll be mixing a potion that often comes up in an ordinary wizarding level, the Draught of Peace, a potion to calm anxiety and soothe agitation. Be warned, if you are too heavy-handed with the ingredients, you will put the drinker into a heavy and sometimes irreversible sleep. So you'll need to pay close attention to what you are doing." On Harry's left, Hermione sat up a little straighter, her expression of the utmost attentiveness. "The ingredients and method," Snape flicked his wand, "are on the blackboard," and they appeared there. "You'll find everything you need," he flicked his wand again, "in the store cupboard." The door of the cupboard sprang open. "You have an hour and a half. Start." Just as Harry, Ron, and Hermione had predicted, Snape could hardly have set upon them a more difficult, fiddly potion. The ingredients had to be added to the cauldron in precisely the right order and quantities. The mixture had to be stirred exactly the right number of times. Firstly, in clockwise, then in counterclockwise directions. The heat of the flames on which it was simmering had to be lowered to exactly the right level for a specific number of minutes before the final ingredient was added. "A light silver vapor should now be rising from your potion," called Snape with 10 minutes left to go. Harry, who was sweating profusely, looked desperately around the dungeon. His own cauldron was issuing copious amounts of dark gray steam. "Why are they so freaking bad at following directions?"
"That one sounds really hard."
"Yeah, but it sounds like you just do exactly what it tells you to do."
"Yeah, but it's hard to do shit like that. Have you ever done labs? Like, I've done so many labs. It's really hard."
"Yeah, I suppose you're right. Yeah." Ron's was emitting green sparks. Seamus was feverishly prodding the flames at the base of his cauldron with the tip of his wand, as they had gone out. The surface of Hermione's potion, however, was a shimmering mist of silver vapor, and as Snape swept by, he looked down his hooked nose at it without comment, which meant that he could find nothing to criticize. At Harry's cauldron, however, Snape stopped, looking down at Harry with a horrible smirk on his face. "Potter, what is this supposed to be?" The Slytherin looked at the front of the class. Looked up eagerly. They loved hearing Snape taunt Harry. "The Draught of Peace," said Harry tensely. "Tell me, Potter," said Snape softly. "Can you read?" Draco Malfoy laughed. "Yeah, I can," said Harry, his fingers clenched tightly around his wand. "Read the third line of the instructions for me, Potter." Harry squinted at the blackboard. It was not easy to make out the instructions through the haze of multicolored steam now filling the dungeon. Add powdered moonstone, stir 3 times counterclockwise, allow to simmer for 7 minutes, then add 2 drops of syrup of hellebore." His heart sank. He had not added syrup of hellebore, but had proceeded straight to the fourth line of the instruction after allowing his potion to simmer for 7 minutes. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's not like he doesn't... Like, I understand labs are hard, but that's often because the equipment's not very good. You know, you follow the instructions, and it doesn't always come out right. Here, he's not even following the instructions, you know?
That's the other thing about labs, is that when you have things that are way too... Like, that is such a more intricate lab than I would have ever done. I mean, labs are hard enough with just having, like, four basic instructions.
Right, but I'm not talking about him, you know, doing something slightly
wrong. Other thing is that those instructions had, that one line had four instructions. It shouldn't be like that. It should be, do this, this. You know what I mean? Like, bullet point.
Yeah, I suppose, but...
Okay, well, how many labs have you done, by the way?
A lot. Remember, I was a physics major.
Yeah, but physics is theoretical.
No, I had to do tons of labs.
Like what?
Like, I probably still have my lab reports. Would you like to read them?
No, like what? Tell me.
All right, hold on a second. Let me look.
No, I don't want to... use your memory, Jesse.
All right. We did, there was one where we had to measure the charge, or the mass-to-charge ratio of an electron. It's the oil drop experiment. There was one where we had to do something with, like, a centrifuge. I forget what. There was... I don't know.
How many semesters of lab work did you do?
Semesters of lab work. Probably four.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
I don't believe you.
Three quarters of lab work at Chicago and then two semesters at Wisconsin. So 1 year at Chicago, 1 year at Wisconsin. Why don't you believe me? I was a physics major. They required that shit.
Well, it's not as, like, the chemical labs are harder.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not saying I did hard labs. What do you want?
I'm just impressed that they had you do labs at all.
No, I never got the right answers. Don't worry.
No, I'm just saying. If you never got the right answers, then don't fucking blame Harry.
Yeah, but I followed the instructions exactly. I even wrote...
Can you still...
My lab reports got more and more surly as the year went on. Near the end, I was writing about how horrible lab experiences were. I was just pontificating. It was fantastic.
Read.
No, I'm serious. It was really great. Like,
that's what you're doing now, Read.
I would be like, I followed all the instructions exactly, and yet I came up with a number that was really far away from this. The equipment is horrible. These are, you know, it's a terrible idea to do these labs. Also, it's really, really boring. And a monkey could do these labs, and this is really stupid, and we shouldn't have to take labs. Like, I basically wrote that for the last few lab reports. It was really fun. Our labs were, like, 5 hours long.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Read.
Such a waste of time. Anyway. Did you do everything on the third line, Potter? No, said Harry very quietly. I beg your pardon. No, said Harry more loudly. I forgot the Hellbane. Hellbore. I know what you did, Potter, which means that this mess is utterly worthless. Evanesco. The contents of Harry's potion vanished. He was left standing foolishly beside an empty cauldron. Those of you who have managed to read the instructions... Fill one flagon with a sample of your potion. Label it clearly with your name and bring it up to my desk for testing. Homework? 12 inches of parchment on the properties of moonstone and its uses in potion making. To be handed in on Thursday. While everyone else was filling their flagons, Harry cleared away his things, seething. His potion had been no worse than Ron's, which was now giving off the foul odor of bad eggs, or Neville's, which had achieved the consistency of just mixed cement. In which Neville was now having to gouge out of his cauldron. And yet it was he, Harry, who would be receiving 0 marks for his day's work. He stuffed his wand back into his bag and slumped down onto his seat, watching everyone else march up to Snape's desk and filled and corked flagons. When at last the bell rang, Harry was first out of the dungeon and had already started his lunch by the time Ron and Hermione joined him in the Great Hall. The ceiling had turned an even murkier gray during the morning, and rain was lashing at the high window. I think we'll stop there. I hope you liked that, kitten.
There was a lot of pontificating.
There was, I know. It probably wasn't the most sleep-inducing of Harry's, but, you know. It was... Genuine Jesse.
I love you.
I love you too, kitten. Should I say goodnight to you on the recording first?
Yeah.
Okay. I love you so much, kitten boo. You're the sweetest, most beautiful kittenist in the world. I love you so much. I hope you have sweet dreams. Goodnight, kitty boo.